Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time that we set aside on Wednesday night to come together and fellowship in the Word of God. This is Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. And I'm your host, Diane Adams, a servant of God. It's an honor and it's a privilege to go before the God of the people of God as we come together week after week. You guys, I thank you because you have been coming week after week for many years. And I thank you and I thank God for the opportunity. It's always good to be with you guys. I just want to let you know that. It's a pleasure and it's a privilege that we come together. And we had formulated a family, really. Wednesday night Bible study family. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I want you to know our lesson tonight is going to come from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 17. And we're going to explore on the entire chapter. And the title of our lesson is God Always Provides. We have to remember that. God always provides. We know that everything is topsy-turvy in the world that we live in. We have trouble on every side. We have a pandemic. We have injustice. We have brutality being unnecessarily placed on people. And we have incarceration rate that is going through the roof. And we have to pray for those that's in prison because they don't have the opportunity to be able to social distance. And we have to just put a protection upon them because they can't do social distancing even if they wanted to. So we have to keep our head up. We have to continue to protect ourselves. And we have to stay connected to God, who's the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to go and play this song that I think is appropriate for our lesson on tonight. And I am so excited. Many of you that have been with me for many years and in my beginning, my grandson was my prayer warrior. And on Wednesday night, he brought us to the throne of grace in prayer. And tonight he's on the line. I can't even explain the joy that I have in my heart. God is able. Because we have to pray for our young people, y'all. We know that Black Lives Matter. And we want everyone to accept, we want everyone to respect Black lives. But our youth have to begin to realize that Black lives matter as well. The senseless killings, the bickering amongst themselves. I pray that God touch their heart and their mind, that they realize that their Black brothers and sisters' lives matter as well. So I'm going to play the song at this time, and we're going to come back, and Madison Andrew Chambers is going to bring us to the throne of grace tonight. Y'all pray for him, that God use him in a mighty way, and pray that he continue to come back and share the word of God with us on Wednesday night.
Sometimes there are obstacles in the road that can leave you feeling low, and you don't know how to move forward. And sometimes there are turns you want to take, but the way gets hard to trace. Now you're wondering, how did you get here? But don't you give up until you see how God is ordering your steps, so you can walk into your seats. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. Our God is faithful. The Lord, and receive a harvest for your seed. And in due time, God will blow your mind with what He planted inside of you to bless the world and faithful to perform. God is faithful to perform. Oh, He that has begun a great work in you is faithful to perform it. God is faithful to perform it. So if you ever get discouraged, speak to yourself and say, God is doing a great, He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me. God is doing a great work. He's doing a great work. He's doing a great work in me.
God is doing a great work.
So what should be considered as we proceed is that this work did not begin with you. Our mother's mother and father's father planted seeds when we were but the faint notion of a dream in their mind. They hope for a harvest, a legacy, a great work. So may your next step forward help us to connect the dots and see this picture of greatness. In fact, I hear God say that you are His workmanship, His masterpiece, created for such a time as this. A great work, a great, great, great.
And that record is God is doing a great work. He said the work that God has begun in you, He's able to perform it. And I believe that because Madison is here tonight and God started a great work in him and it's still being manifested. So with that being said, I'm going to open the mic for Madison. Good evening, Madison.
Good evening.
You want to say anything to the people tonight?
I hope y'all enjoy the lesson. I hope y'all can learn from the lessons that my grandma teach, and I hope y'all can apply that to y'all everyday life just to make life easier.
Hallelujah. All righty.
God, please protect us, because right now we're in a very, very tough time. We are fighting for our people right now. We have a pandemic going around. We're trying to deal with the corruption and basically everywhere in the world. Please, God, please protect us, because right now we have one pandemic that could kill a lot of people, and then we have another pandemic which is not dealing with illness, but just dealing with racism. Please, God, please protect us and let all this wash away, God, because before it could get better, everything has to be worse. So, God, just please be with us. Please be with us, and please be with everybody. Please help educate everybody on the topics right now so we could change the world and just allow all these things to change, God. And thanks for allowing us to get through this, because right now we could have been in a tougher time when we didn't have any internet to do this. We could just be in our house right now just doing it, playing off the Bible. But you allow us, everybody, connect through this program, God. Thank you, God. And we just want to say thank you for allowing us to do everything else that we're doing, because right now we can still go outside. We can still go get things. Even though it's not recommended, you're still allowing us to do this, God. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen, Madison. Glory be to God. So, Madison, you're going to start calling us on Wednesday?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, praise the Lord. You're making me feel so happy. You're bringing me joy. I love you, Madison. That's my grandson, 16 years old, Madison Andrew Chambers. I want y'all to remember and call his name up in prayer, because we got to pray for our youth. Ask that God build a fence of protection around him and keep him steadfast unto the things of God. Because other than that, the Satan is trying to snatch them all up. So I thank you, Madison, and God bless you.
God bless you, too.
Many of you know my grandson when he started praying in 2012. It's now 2020. He was young. And he's growing up to be a young man. Glory be to God. So with that being done and said, it's time for us to go into the lesson. Our lesson tonight, as I said before, is coming from 1 Kings, the 17th chapter. I pray that each and every one of you have your Bibles. Open it to the Book of 1 Kings in the Old Testament, and join us in chapter 17. As always, I give a little background about a person, a place, or a thing. And tonight I'm going to talk about the prophet Elijah. Now, there's an Elijah and Eliza. So there's two prophets almost with the same name, but this is Elijah. The prophet Elijah is one of the most interesting and colorful persons of all biblical characters. Yet his life was so filled with turmoil that today we might say that he was up one day and down the next. You see, because Elijah was at times bold and decisive and at other times fearful and unsure, we have much to learn from him. That's the same way it be in our lives some days. Some days we wake up and we just don't feel like going on, or we start questioning the things we're doing, what profit is performing. So God allows us to look at examples of characters in the Bible. As powerful as Elijah was, how God was able to use Elijah, we see now that Elijah had the same concerns that we do. You see, there are ways in which Elijah demonstrated the power of God, and on other instances, where he plundered the depths of depression. Hallelujah. In the Old Testament, a prophet was a spokesman for God. The prophet admonishes, warns, directs, encourages, intercedes, teaches, and counsels the people of God. Whenever God wanted something to go to the people, he gave it to the prophet, and the prophet delivered the message to the people. You see, a prophet brings the word of God to the people of God and calls the people to respond. Y'all see many times in the Bible the prophets told the children of Israel if they don't get it right, if they don't begin to obey him, and different things like that. You see, he bring the word of God and wait for the people to respond. You see, God appointed this man, Elijah, of the desert region to go before kings. See, each prophet brought messages to certain people, you know, in certain places. But we see what Elijah's assignment was, to bring messages before kings, bringing the message of warning and repentance. You see, Elijah did not seek God to be a messenger or a prophet. That's what you got to realize. Elijah wasn't looking for God and no special assignment, but instead God chose him for the job. And that's what God is trying to do in many of our lives. We don't understand what God has for us to do and why and how. But you see, when God calls you, when you hear God's voice, no matter how small, you should get to moving. You see, Elijah was a human being just like us, a man of similar hopes and dreams, weaknesses and shortcomings, but also a man of deep faith in God. You see, Elijah was a bold, direct, to-the-point prophet of God. By speaking the prophecy of God, he made fierce enemies. You know, the prophets, like the prophet, I think that's Jeremiah, they called him the weeping prophet. These men of God, God would give them a message. They would go give the message to the people over and over and over again, and the people never changed. And it hurt prophets' heart to see that the people wouldn't change. And besides that, the people got mad with them. And besides that, they ostracized them because they didn't want to hear the truth. That's like it is today. There are many preachers, evangelists, missionaries, and teachers, and pastors, and every saved person that's doing a great commission, going forth and telling someone the good news of Jesus Christ. And it seems sometime that is null and void. But the trick is, you got to keep saying it. God didn't tell you had to get them saved. God didn't tell you had to tell them and then they had to react to you. He said, give them the message and keep it moving. And if they don't receive what you're telling them, dust the dust off your feet. So Elijah didn't go looking for God. God came looking for Elijah. He made enemies. But his enemies could not overpower him because God was with him. Hallelujah. If God be for you, who could be against you? Remember that. If God tell you to do something and nobody else agree with you, do it anyhow. Because wherever God guides, he provides. And when people don't like what you're saying and shut the door, God got the ability to open that door. You see, Elijah is one of the best known prophets of the Jews because they was expecting Elijah to return someday. You see, in the Bible, there's two people, one named Enoch and Elijah, that went up to heaven before they seen death. Enoch was rapping with God in the garden, and they talked and talked and walked and walked, and they walked straight on up to heaven. And Elijah in 2 Kings 2:11, it said, and it came to pass as they went on, that was Elijah and Eliza. They was walking and talking, and they was going, and talked that while he was talking in there, behold, there appeared a chariot of fire and a horse of fire. And it separated Elijah and Eliza. It departed them asunder. Elijah was placed in a chariot, and he went up in a whirlwind unto heaven. So many of the prophets believed that Elijah was going to come back to earth because then he would have to die. So they always looking for Elijah. When John the Baptist came on the scene, they asked him, was he Elijah? So that's just some facts about Elijah. So if we go in 1 Kings, the 17th chapter, and I'm going to start in the first verse. And the scripture reads, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was in the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto, as the Lord of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. You see, Elijah, God gave Elijah the message. Elijah brought the message. He told him that there will be a drought. There will be no rain. And that, you know, if they don't have rain, they would have problems with their crop and their food sources would go down. It was going to be a lot of things happening, but Elijah came and warned them. So if we look at this verse, we see that God never leaves his people in the dark. How many times people tell me, well, something told me not to go that way. I always tell them, nah, it's not a something, that's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, leading to you, trying to guide you into what is right. When we get ready to do things that we know is wrong, the Holy Spirit speaks to us. Sometimes we listen and sometimes we don't. But God never leaves his people in the dark. You see, he uses his prophets to tell the people what he was going to do, whether good or bad. We can believe this because the scripture says, God explains, surely the Lord God does nothing, unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophets. You can find that in the book of Amos, the 3rd chapter and the 7th verse. I want you to know that we first meet Elijah when he suddenly appeared to challenge Ahab. Ahab was a very evil king who ruled the northern kingdom. Elijah prophesies of a drought to come upon the land, and he told him it's because of the consequences of your sins, Ahab, because of your evilness. He told him. You see, here God uses Elijah the prophet to announce the punishment and to warn the Israelites to change from their ways. King Ahab, according to the Bible, was one of Israel's most powerful rulers. Many consider him to be the worst ruler that ancient Israel ever had. And I know you guys probably heard about Jezebel, but Jezebel was his wife. And she was even more evil than him. She was so evil that she has come to symbolize revengeful, malicious, immoral, and cruel women throughout history. You know, many times you might have heard somebody say, when somebody calls you a Jezebel, when Jezebel is not your name, They are telling you that you have the moral conscience, the moral conscience of King Ahab, wife Jezebel. They telling you, you treacherous. There's no good in you. When Ahab married Jezebel, he became the first Israel king in the Bible who allied himself with heathenism, idolatry, barbaric, and many worship, much worship of false gods. And he was just plain evil. Excuse y'all, somebody's bumming on my door. Sorry, y'all. They knocked and I didn't answer and they kept their start bumming. But let me get back to where we was. Thank you, Jesus. So, that was King Ahab, wife Jezebel. When she married him, she brought all kind of idolatry and heathenism and barbaric practices in the lives of the Israelites. And even though they brought it, they didn't have to do it. But it's so amazing that people join in with things that they know is not right. So God warned them, I'm going to not let it rain. Y'all going to go into a drought because of the evil in the land. And then verse 2 said, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook of Cherith that is before the Jordan, and it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook. And I have, watch this, y'all, I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelled by the brook of Cherith, that is before the Jordan. Verse 6. And the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Remember, Elijah had angered Ahab. He probably put a bounty on his head, and he wanted to do him much harm. Come on, y'all. So look what God said. He said, man, I got you. This scripture lets us know that Elijah did not seek God, but God came looking for him. And wherever God, whatever God wants you to do, whatever God has for you to do, he don't ask you to do anything that he know you can't do. He don't ask you to do anything that you don't have the ability to do it. He never asks you to perform something that requires don't have. So if God asks you the gifts he knows he has already placed them within you, your ability he has already established in you. How could you lose with something like that? See, man will set you up to fail. Man will just send you out there and let the chips fall where they may. But God is not a God like that. He says he deal with every man according to his own ability. You see, Elijah did not hesitate to take on his mission. Even though it appears that his life would be threatened by the wicked king. Then God sent Elijah into hiding as the drought dried up the streams and withered the crops of the nation. You see, whenever God has something for you to do, he'll never set you up to fail. You see, God told him Ahab is ready to hunt you down. So Elijah hides near the brook of Cherith. And look what God did. He said, Elijah, go over to that brook. Now, you see, just like God told him where to go and what to do, sometimes God tells us what to do. He told him, go by the brook of Cherith, and maybe he went another way. It's not God's fault. Just like in the Bible, Jonah, God sent Jonah to Nineveh. Let's say Nineveh was to the east. Jonah went as far to the west as he could get. See, we have to be obedient to what God is telling us. And we have to do what God is asking us. So he told him to go over to the brook. He said, now the brook is going to be your water because, you know, they don't have no rain. He said, the brook has water in it now. So go over there to that brook. He said, every evening and every night, I'm going to send a raven to feed you. All of God's assignments have provisions attached. God never asks you to do anything without providing the provisions needed to fulfill the intended purpose he's trying to achieve through your life. God sent him and the provisions were there waiting for him. God didn't tell him to go do it and then try to figure out how he was going to eat, how he was going to drink. God sent them and everything was already set up. That's the kind of God we serve, y'all. God is always working things out for our good. And he promised that those weapons that formed against us, all of them will not prosper. And you got to remember when one door closes, God has the power. He's always willing and able to open another one. So don't get dismayed with the doors that are closed. Because any door that is closed, God can open it. And any door in your life that needs to be closed, God can close it, but you have to trust him. God has provided everything that we ever need to accomplish his goals, to live a righteous life, and live our best life if we use his instructions as our moral compass. Now I'm going to verse 7 through 14. And it came to pass after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. And the word of God came unto him saying, arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongs to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. Verse 10. So he rose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering sticks. Hallelujah. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. 11. And she was going to fetch it. He stopped her, y'all. He called and said, hey, bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thy hand. And 12, and she said, as the Lord of God liveth, I have not a cake, but a handful of meal in a barrel and a little oil in the cure. And behold, I'm gathering two sticks that I might go in and dress it for me and my son that we may eat and die. She's saying, it's all I have. And after this, there is no more. So we're going to eat this and we're going to die. Remember, the land had dried up. The wells, the brook had dried up. The crop had dried up. There was no food, nowhere to get. There was nowhere to get the food. She had a little flour and a little oil. She said, we're going to die. But watch this. 13. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me therefore a little cake first and bring it to me. And after make for thee and for thy son. For thus said the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruel of earl oil fail until the day that the Lord sent it rain upon the earth. Now y'all know that's pretty demanding. And most of us, I don't know what we would say. We don't have enough for me and my son, and after that there will be no more, and we're going to eventually die from starvation, and we don't have anywhere to get any more from. And you want me to fix you a cake first, and what's left, me and my son, deal with it. You see, as the drought and famine in the land deepened, Elijah met with a widow in a neighboring country. We saw that in the scripture. She apparently knew about Elijah and his faith in God. This must have been hard for the widow. Not only did he want some of the not enough she had, but he wanted her to feed him first and make some for herself and son later. But look what she do. She agreed to take care of the prophet, even though she had no money and only enough food for her and her son to eat their final meal. I could ask the question tonight, are you willing to give your last? And many of us don't have to give our last because we have more than enough. So in that case, I would ask, are you willing to share what God has given you with others? We have to remember that everything we have belongs to God. We are only stewards. And a steward is someone who takes care of something that belongs to someone else until they come back. The Bible says the earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, the world and everything that dwell therein belongs to God. So if everything belongs to God, and we are allowed to be stewards of it here on earth in the kingdom of God until Jesus comes back. What happened, she trusted Elijah when he said she could trust in God. And when she believed it, it produced the faith. Come on, y'all. You got to believe to have faith. Yet her faith was not completely in God at this time. She trusted. It produced faith. But, you know, she was new to this. But we have to move sometime, even though we don't fully understand. But you will understand it by and by. You don't have to understand what God is telling you. You don't have to understand why God would ask you to do certain things. Just do it. And as with this with a woman and with Elijah, the provision for you to accomplish it is given by God. Elijah had told her that God would make her food last until the drought was over. That little faith that she had, she believed it, and it produced enough faith for her to move on. God said he has given everyone a measure of faith. The scripture also says, if you have the faith the size of a mustard seed, you can move mountains. And if we go to verse 15, and she went and did according to the saying of Elijah, and she and he in her house did eat many days. 16, the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cure of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which Elijah spoke. Hallelujah. Do you trust God? You see, through her obedience to Elijah's request, God provided food enough for all of them. It was miraculously that the widow's barrel of flour and jar of oil never ran out. The lesson for the believers is that if you walk in fellowship with the Lord and obey him, he will be open with everything that you need. He will hear your prayers. He will know your condition. He will always let you know that help is on the way. He always lets us know what his will is. And when we are in God's will, he fulfills all our needs. And his grace and mercy towards us never runs out. That's a blessing, y'all. That God's grace and mercy is with you all the time. There's many times God's grace and mercy is doing wonderful things in your life, but you are so busy doing what you want to do, how you want to do it, when you want to do it. It's almost like they say you can't see the forest for the trees. But I want to let you know tonight, when we get to meet Jesus face to face, you know, and you may have a desire to say, well, Lord, why you didn't show up at this time, and why you didn't protect me at that time, and why you didn't do it this way, or why you didn't do it that way. He said, my grace always was sufficient, even in your bad times, the worst of times. When things were going good and when things was going bad, when you felt pain, he was right. Because the word of God said God will never leave us nor forsake us. He's saying when you're in a situation and you feeling all, you know, maybe down and out and depressed, God say when you can't hear my voice, just let's trust my plan. But you don't know God's plan if you don't study his word. And then what people have the audacity to start doing is making it up as they go. They think they afforded the privilege to figure out what you need to do for God and what you don't have to do for God and what is necessary, and it don't take all of that, and it ain't about all of that. But let me tell you tonight, God is in control. God orchestrates all things that are orchestrated. And even if he don't orchestrate it, he has to allow it. And God had a master plan before the foundation of the world for all of us, for his whole creation. And it's coming to pass as it comes to pass. And the good thing is you was in that master plan before you was in your parents' womb. And now God is working it out. But God say, I got you. I've always had you. You couldn't feel my presence because maybe you was looking the wrong way. Maybe he told you to go east and you went west. Or maybe you heard him and just didn't feel like it. You didn't feel like dealing with him today. But God is doing what God does. God does not take any vacations. He don't take no times out. He don't, you know, leave you alone to go work a private agenda. You are God's agenda. Hallelujah. In verse 17 through 24, these are the last chapters, the last verses. And it came to pass after these things that the son and the woman, the mistress of the house, fell sick. And he sick, and his sickness was so sore that there was no breath left in him. The lady's son. And she said unto Elijah, what have I to do with thee, O thou man of God? Art thou come unto me to call my sins in remembrance and slay my son? The lady got, her son had died, and she figured she was all right, but by the man of God coming there, she felt that it made God look at her past and her past sins, and now she felt her sins had caught up with her and called her son to die. You know, so many people believe like that. Like some things, you know, they believe in karma, and they believe the great payback and things like that. But I would come to tell you tonight, God is not waiting for you to mess up to punish you. There's already things in place for punishment. Most of the sins that are, not most, all of your sins that are created by you, it's created in you by your flesh. So flesh already have the consequences laid out for the sin. Jesus, take the sins. Satan holds on to the consequences. So God has forgiven you for your sins, but the consequences of your sins and your evil belongs to you. So the lady was worried that, you know, I haven't been the best mother maybe, and I haven't done all I could have did. So you coming here, you calling my sins to remembrance, and she felt her sins was enough to slay her son. Verse 19, and he said unto her, give me thy son. And he took him out of her bosom and carried him to a loft where he abode and laid him upon his bed. 20, and he cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourn by slaying her son? Now Elijah started questioning himself now. He said, O Lord, my God, hast thou also brought evil upon the widow with whom I sojourned by slaying her son? You know, when something happened, we start blaming ourselves. The lady blamed herself for her sons, and now Elijah is looking at his past failures and sins and his shortcomings. And he said, Lord, because I'm here with the woman, are you taking my sins and holding it against the woman who has taken me in? He said, Lord, please have mercy. In verse 21, and he stretched himself upon the child three times and cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let this child soul come into him again. Verse 22. And the Lord heard Elijah and the soul of the child came back into him again. And he was revived. Hallelujah. 23. And Elijah took the child and brought him out of the chamber into the house and delivered him unto his mother. And Elijah said, see, thou son liveth. Now watch this, y'all. You know, I told you when she believed, she had some faith, but it wasn't complete faith. But look at what happened in 24. And the woman said to Elijah, now by this I know that thou art a man of God, and that the word of the Lord is in thy mouth. It's true. Her faith has grown, y'all. She believed more, so now she had more faith. And when we look back at here and we see that God allowed the raven to feed Elijah, you know, I don't know if your mind thought about it or why God used a raven. Because, you know, a raven is like a vulture, a lady called Minister Cloud was studying today, and she brought that to mind, that the raven was a vulture bird. But if you kept reading about the raven was one of the most smartest species to ever live. So God called a raven, which man or world look at it as a bad thing. But God knew what the raven was working with. Hallelujah. And that raven went out every morning and got Elijah some meat and bread. And then when it was dinner time, he knew the time. The raven must look at the clock, tell the time. So when it was nighttime and time to eat again, all Elijah had to do was wait because the raven was on the way. That's what God is telling us when he say help is on the way. The provisions was there. So this is me doing the last of this. We talked about our son falling ill. Elijah thought it was because of his sins, and she thought it was because of her sins. And Elijah even told him, he said, you brought me to this woman's house, and because of what I've done in the past, it's causing, you know, this hardship in this house. But Elijah prayed to God. God heard the prayer. And God, Elijah wasn't sure what was going on, but he did what he knew was best for the situation. He still trusted God. You see, when things happen in our lives, we sometimes start to question our past mistakes and our current sins and even our lack of faith for the reason of our situation. God uses everything for his glory. I want you to remember this when things is not going right. Always remember that many things, trials, tribulation, adversities, it's sometimes it's just a test. Sometimes God puts you into situations so that you could truly see and open your eyes and you become more mature in the things of God. And sometimes we are in situations because it's the consequences for our sinful actions. But you see, God's going to always give us the evidence needed to trust him. You see, after the prophet raised the son from the dead, the woman proclaimed that she too trusted in God, the God of Elijah. Hallelujah. And that his words were the truth from God. You know, Elijah was in the Old Testament, and I went and got a saying about Elijah in the New Testament, and I went to James 5, 17 and 18, and it says the apostle James, which is Jesus' stepbrother, because James' mother is Mary, and his father is Joseph, but Jesus' mother was Mary, but his father was God. And James wrote the book of James. They said Apostle James would later speak of Elijah's faith, saying, Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3 years and 6 months. If y'all keep reading in King, you're going to see it. And then he prayed again, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced much fruit. Hallelujah. That's our lesson for tonight. If anyone would like to add to it any comments, any corrections, you could do it at this time. Caller, your number is 355-26. Your mic is open.
6-2. Hello?
Yes.
Yes. Hey, Miss Diane. I just wanted to say hi and let you know that I was listening to you tonight. This is Kathy Foxworth. And I love the message. And much as I have studied between the churches that I belong to, and on a personal level, when I used to have Bible study with my mom when she was at home, I never had it brought out those scriptures that way. And it gave me a real better understanding tonight the way you brought it out. So I really appreciate that. So thank you very much. I just wanted to say hello.
Yeah, and I appreciate you and your dad because I know he's listening. Her dad is my
best buddy.
No, he's
not listening because I'm not at home. I'm at my house in Alexandria because I'm going to school. That's the message that I sent you. I'm going to school at LSU. A, to finish off some courses that I needed to take during before the coronavirus, and I wasn't able to do it. So I'm in Alexandria, Louisiana. I started July 1st with my courses. My dad's at home. My brother and Michael and Brian was there last week when I came, and they're taking care of my dad right now while I'm in school.
Praise God. But it's always a pleasure
mm-hmm.
to hear your voice, and I thank you
yes,
for
ma'am.
Listening.
You're welcome.
God bless you, my sweetie.
Thank you. You be safe.
Caller, your number is 678-598. Your mic is open.
Oh, thank you, Minister Diane. That was a lovely message. I enjoyed it. Just want to expound upon the fact that what's so beautiful about the message is the miracle. Number one, it was the first person to be raised from the dead, the little boy. But the way that it was performed, and the song that you played in the beginning, Faithful to Perform, is so fitting with this lesson. You see, he took the little boy out of the mother's hand. The son was beyond human help because he was dead. He laid him down as if he was offering him up to God. And it was God that brought him back to life in the hands of God. Before we can experience a new life. And that's what I got from your lesson. And the fact that in verse 17:22, when he said the soul of the child came into him, when we go back to Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life. And the man became a living soul. And you're so absolutely right. All of that was for God's glory and for the get. Elijah needed strength for what he's about to endure next. And the women at Zarephath woman also needed to believe more in God. Great lesson. I thoroughly enjoyed it.
I thank you so much, Minister Paula Cloud, for your comments and being on the line. Are there any other comments, concerns, questions? Well, if that's it for tonight, we're going to go ahead and close. And at this time, we'll have a benediction. And I just want to pray that the Lord watch between thee and me while we absent one from another. May God's peace, love, and joy be with you. May you meditate on the word of God that has gone forth, that it sustain you until we meet again. God be with you. And it is my desire that you grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. That's the program for tonight. God bless each and every one of you. God loves you, and so do I. Good night.